This morning we welcome our celebrant, Father John Heisler, who is a priest of the Diocese of Arlington, and he was my chaplain out at Christendom College the 4 years that I was studying there. And he's now on faculty at the Pontifical College Josephinum, a seminary in Columbus, Ohio. But he asked me if we could celebrate Mass together, that I would preach at a Mass that he celebrated. And little did I know that 6 years after graduating, we would be together here at Our Lady of Hope to celebrate with all of you. Just like last Sunday, today Jesus gives us a parable and the interpretation as well. So what more can be said, and why do we have to listen to the deacon preaching about it again? Well, because the Word of God is rich in meaning, there's always something we can gather, something we can learn every time we read the sacred text. In today's parable, Jesus is the sower of the good seed, and the enemy is the devil. And so I think there's three takeaway points that I wanted to leave you with this morning. First, the devil is real, but we don't fear him. Secondly, we need to exercise patience and mercy toward everyone we meet. And thirdly, we need to exercise and practice personal repentance in our own lives. First, the devil is real, but we don't fear him. I think today we often see people who are either overly fascinated with the devil or they dismiss his very existence. I think pop culture and many movies bear witness to this fact. But in reality, he does exist. He is prowling like a roaring lion, and yet he acts with cunning subtlety. He sows the seeds of doubt and dissent among believers. And the weeds referenced in the gospel today were, at the time, often called false wheat, because from the beginning it looked to be just like wheat, and it was only known to be weeds when the grain appeared. But by then, it was too late. And I think the weeds can also be a reference to false doctrine, the false doctrine that has some truth in it, but it also is mixed with falsehood, and therefore it's not the fullness of the truth. And it's according to the devil to work according to these methods, to mix falsehood with truth. And today, the devil hasn't changed his tactics, because what worked with our first parents, he continues to use that same method today by mixing falsehood with truth. On the one hand, God tells us what will bring us joy, what will bring us happiness, what will bring us life. But then the devil comes along and sows doubt in our minds and in our hearts. He comes along and he lies to us. But he uses just enough of the truth to convince people to believe him. And I think today some people would like to discount church teachings, especially on controversial topics like abortion, contraception, pornography, the importance of attending Mass every Sunday. The devil convinces these people to go against what God has taught through his church. And because the devil is so subtle, we often don't notice until much later. We don't notice the weeds growing among the wheat until it's too late. And so to avoid becoming like the weeds, we need to sow the seeds of grace and truth in our own lives. And we do this by holding on firmly to what has been revealed by God through the Catholic Church. But we don't fear the devil's cunning, because we have the life of grace living inside of us. Through baptism, the Holy Trinity came to dwell in our souls. And so God lives inside of us, and therefore we have great power over the devil. And I think we often underestimate that fact. We underestimate our own power, the fact that God is living inside of us, because a person in the state of grace has the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of him or her. And grace is a sign of the presence of God, and God, as we know, dispels all evil. Secondly, we need to exercise patience and mercy toward everyone around us, toward the church, toward others, and even toward ourselves. God is patient with us. In fact, it says in the New Testament that God's patience is directed towards salvation. He's patient with us so that he can bring us to himself. And we have a glimpse of the mercy of God, the patience of God, in our first reading. Although God is the master of might, he judges with clemency. He governs with lenience. And the parable in the gospel today, it counsels patience. Patience in the present until the final judgment when God will set all things right. Now, this doesn't mean that we never take notice of sin or we never rebuke it. We can and must judge actions, not persons, because actions have a moral quality about them, and we can consider the object of the action, the intention, the circumstances surrounding a particular action. But we avoid judging persons because we can never know the state of someone's soul, the state of someone's heart. But in the midst of all this, God is always welcoming sinners. He's always waiting for even hardened sinners to return to him, that they will avail themselves of the mercy offered through the church. And we have to remind ourselves that it's never too late for anyone to return to the mercy of God. We need to practice patience with the church and with the members of the church. First, with the church, because the church doesn't always act as quickly as we would want her to. I think people often ask why the church or even an individual bishop has not spoken out on a particular topic yet. They often criticize the church for not keeping up with the times. But we have to remember that the church stays the same. The news and technology, that's something that changes daily, but the church operates differently. And are these truly times to be exemplified, to be kept up with, to be idolized? The church has seen a lot in 2,000 years, and she will endure till the end of time. And history has shown us that the church acts slowly, but decisively. We also need patience with individual members of the church. The church, as we know, is holy. That's one of the marks of the church, and we profess in the creed the church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The church is holy because she has no other life than the life of grace. And if Christians live according to this life of grace, then her members are sanctified. But if they don't, then they fall into sin and can become a scandal to other people in the church and end up preventing the radiation of the church's sanctity. So although the church is holy, she has unfaithful members as well. She has sinners in her midst. But God allows the weeds and the wheat to grow side by side until the end of time. And it's the judgment that God bestows, that God brings, that will be the final destiny between the righteous and the wicked. And so the lesson for us is patience with the shortcomings of others and allow God and the angels to sort things out in the end. And so today Jesus reminds us to wait. And I think that's good advice. After all, how do we know that we don't need more time? Before asking God to lower the boom on sinners, we should remember that we're going to need that patience and that mercy too. And elsewhere, Jesus says that the measure you measure to others will be measured back to you. And so since God is patient with us, we have to be patient with others. Thirdly, we need to exercise personal repentance. The saints are sinners who never gave up, who continued every day on the pursuit of holiness despite their failings. And so the church needs constant renewal and purification and an undying quest for holiness. But we have to avoid that unrealistic purism that can easily creep in. Because in everyone, the weeds of sin will be mixed with the good wheat of the gospel until the end of time. And this is even true of church leaders. And so I hope you pray every day for holiness among the bishops and among the priests and the leaders of the church. The church is a field hospital for sinners, in the words of Pope Francis, at once holy, but always in need of purification. And so she's always following the path of penance and renewal. And this renewal can come to us, each one of us, through the sacrament of confession. Imagine this. God offers us the deal of a lifetime, freedom from our sins. Allow the blood of Jesus to wash you clean, because no sin is too great or beyond God's pardon. And this is often why God allows the weeds to endure. He's giving them time to repent, to turn back to Him. Often, in confession, we just need the humility to say what God already knows, that we are weak, that we're not perfect, that we need His help. And if we find ourselves discouraged, we can look to the second reading for support and encouragement. St. Paul tells us that the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but it's the Spirit who speaks through us with inexpressible groanings. The Spirit is there to draw us to Himself, to draw us into the inner life of God. And that's really what grace is. Grace is a participation in the divine life. So when we receive grace in the sacraments, we are becoming more like God. The sacrament of confession, it doesn't just take away sins, but it fills us with sanctifying grace. And so we should avail ourselves of this beautiful sacrament, this sacrament of mercy, at least once a month. That's what the church recommends. But more frequently, if we need to, we can certainly do so. Experience the merciful love of our Savior, who's waiting for us, who's waiting to forgive us and welcome us back. So a quick recap. First, the devil is real, but we don't fear him because Jesus is living inside of us. We have that life of grace. Secondly, we act with patience. We act with mercy with everyone because God has been patient and merciful with us. And thirdly, we practice personal repentance. We need to repent and convert our hearts every day. It's an ongoing process of conversion. Allow the grace of God to pervade your whole being. Remember, as Jesus said in the gospel, a small amount of yeast can do great things to the whole loaf. It makes the larger loaf to rise. And I think the point is that God can work with small and ordinary instruments like ourselves to do great things in the church and in the world. And we should find this truth helpful and encouraging because it should free us from that sense of hopelessness. Through God's mercy, we can do more than we can imagine. Through God's mercy, we will be the ones who shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father.